We are in a book of Judges. Philip already gave you some idea how this book started and how this book ended. And he's going to give you reading the survey.
Okay, this is a survey of the book of Judges. It is a lengthy survey, but it is basically an overview just of the judges. It's not an overview of the entire book. It doesn't deal with some of the wars that we saw toward the end of the book. It doesn't include, you know, Abimelech and such. This is just an overview of specifically the judges, how long they served, and which enemies they defeated, and how many years of peace they had afterward, and also some of the notable events that took place during their period of judging Israel, if there were any notable events. In some cases, we don't know much about the judge except the judge's name and how long the judge served, and so sometimes that's all the information that's given here. Okay, the first judge was Othniel. Historians mentioned in Judges verses 12 and 13, and also chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. The oppressing nation at the time, as it's listed here, was Mesopotamia. The length of oppression, as it's listed here, was 8 years. And the years of peace under this judge were 40 years. Othniel was a nephew and son-in-law of Caleb. He captured a strong Canaanite city. He was followed by Ehud in chapter 3, verses 12 to 30. The oppressing nation was Moab. The length of oppression, 18 years. And the years of peace, 80 years. He assassinated a fat Moabite enemy king named Eglon, as it says here. He organized an Israeli army which killed 10,000 enemy troops. He was followed by Shamgar in chapter 3, verse 31. The oppressing nation was Philistia. The length of oppression and the years of peace are both unrecorded, but he killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He was followed by Barak in chapters 4 and 5. The oppressing nation was the Canaanites. The length of oppression, 20 years. The years of peace, 40 years. He raised an army of 10,000 at Deborah's encouragement. He defeated an enemy general named Sisera at the base of Mount Tabor. Sisera is later killed by Jael while he was sleeping in her tent. Barak and Deborah sang a duet of praise over their victory. He was followed by Gideon in chapters 6 to 8. The oppressing nation was Midian. The length of oppression, 7 years. The years of peace, 40 years. He was commissioned by God to defeat the Midianites. He prepared for this by destroying the family idols. He threw out the fleece twice. As he raised an army of 10,000. He saw this army reduced to 300 by God. He defeated 135,000 enemy troops with his 300. And he caused Israel to sin by making a golden ephod. And then he's followed by Tola in chapter 10, verse 1. The oppressing nation and the length of oppression are unrecorded. The years of peace are 23 years. And any accomplishments are unrecorded. He was followed by Jer in chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. The oppressing nation and length of oppression are unrecorded. The years of peace were 22 years. He and his 30 sons delivered 30 Israeli cities from oppression. He was followed by Jephthah in chapter, that is, from chapter 10, verse 6 to chapter 12, verse 17. The oppressing nation was Ammon. The length of oppression, 18 years. The years of peace, 6 years. He was a harlot's son who became a mighty warrior. On the eve of battle, he made a rash vow to God. If victorious, he would offer the first thing that greeted him. His daughter met him, and he sadly performed his vow. He is later provoked into battle with the jealous tribe of Ephraim. He is followed by Ibzan in chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. The oppressing nation and length of oppression are unrecorded. The years of peace are 7 years. His accomplishments are unrecorded. He is followed by Elon in chapter 12, verses 11 to 12. The oppressing nation and length of oppression are unrecorded. His years of peace were 10 years, his accomplishments unrecorded. He is followed by Abdon in chapter 12, verses 13 to 15. The oppressing nation and length of oppression are unrecorded. His years of peace are 8 years, his accomplishments are unrecorded. And finally, Samson. In Judges chapters 13 to 16, the oppressing nation was Philistia. The length of oppression, 40 years. The years of peace, 20 years. He was to be raised as a Nazarite. He killed a lion en route to his wedding. He killed 30 Philistines to pay off a clothing debt. Upon losing his wife, he burned the wheat fields of the Philistines. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He ripped off an iron gate at Gaza. He was betrayed into the hands of the Philistines by Delilah. He was shaven, blinded, and enslaved. He was supernaturally empowered to destroy many Philistines in their own temple by pulling it down, and he himself was killed at this time.
Now, from this you know that Judges' story finishes chapter 16. And then we started chapter 16 after 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Those chapters are not recorded about Judges, but there are stories. Now here, chapter 21 is the last chapter recorded in Judges. But as I was studying the Word of God, after the 21, the chapter should be 18. And they should be finishing the Judges with the chapter 18. I will show it to you as I go. Now here we see Levites goes to bring his concubine. And while he was bringing concubine, they didn't have the place to stay. So they went to the Benjamin's place, and you know the story what happened. And so this man was very angry what the Benjamin people did to his wife, and he cut into 12 pieces of his wife's body and sent it to all the children of Israel. Children of Israel, they were so mad, and they gathered together and they said what we should do, and they thinking that we are going to destroy the Benjamin completely because they did something wrong. And the cause of this was the Levites. If these Levites did not do these things, cutting the pieces and sending to everyone, not only that, in the chapter 20, he gathers all these people, and that's chapter 20, verse 4 to 7. He gathers all these Israeli people, and when they gather together, he gives the preaching, and he told them what happened and how this Benjamin's family did wrong to his wife. And then he said, now you should decide what to do. And he encouraged those people that you should do something. And so when these people start thinking this man is very, very depressed and sorrowful, and they thought he's a man of God because he was a Levite. So they thought, we are going to please this man. And they went to fight with the children of Benjamin. And last week we learned that if they would have gone elders and find out this who did it and just punish those people, but instead of doing that, this Benjamin people said, we are not going to show you, or we are not going to allow you, our people who did wrong, we are going to fight. And there was a fight, and we learned last week, 40,030 Israeli people died, and almost 50,100 people of Benjamin died. Total over 90,000 people died. And now the chapter starts, these people thinking what we should do, because they killed almost all the Benjamins, father, mother, children, and wives. And the 600 people ran to the refuge. And so when you go to the refuge, you cannot kill them. So the 600 people were survived there. Now, after all of this thing happened, the children of Israel now gathered together and asking God what we should do. Let's read the verse 1. Judges chapter 21, verse 1.
Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore.
Now here the people, they have a problem. What we should do to give the wives to the Benjamin. They said, we already made a promise, a vow in front of God, and said, we are not going to give our daughters to Benjamin, their tribes, and if somebody gives their daughter, that person should be cursed. Now they brought the curse on them. God did not tell them to make this vow. They made it themselves, and now they are confused. They don't know what to do, and now they came to the Lord, and he said, in the evening, morning until evening, they were sitting in front of God and weeping, and they were crying. All these hundreds and thousands of Israeli people sitting and crying whole night or whole evening, and no answer. God did not give them answer what to do. So now see what they're doing, verse 3.
And said, O Lord God of Israel, why hath this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?
Now they are saying, O Lord, why this happened to us? Now they are questioning God, why this happened to the children of Benjamin? Why this whole tribe is completely wiped out? Why this happened? Is it a foolish question? You did it. You killed the Benjamin people and their tribes. God did not tell you. You went and asked God. And God said, okay, that's the way you want to do it. Go ahead. And twice, Israeli people were defeated and they could not destroy Benjamin people. And then finally they said, Lord, what we should do? God said, okay, this time I will give the Benjamin in your hand. And the Benjamin people were defeated. And now they are blaming, instead of blaming themselves, they are saying, why this happened, God? This is what the people do. They make mistakes, they get into trouble, and they sit there and blame God. That's why these people were sitting there in front of the tabernacle, or he says in front of God, and praying and praying and praying, and not one person praying, 400,000 Israeli people. And out of that, maybe 40,000 died. But all these people are sitting and crying and weeping, and there is no answer. Verse 4.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings.
Now, next day, they're making an altar there. They're giving burnt offering. They're giving peace offering. And they might be thinking, now this way God will tell us what to do. And their whole day, they are again praying and worshiping and asking God what to do. But there is no answer. God did not tell them what to do, what not to do. Because when you do wrong and you blaming God and finding answer from God, God will not answer you. So now they are praying, sacrificing, and giving burnt offering and everything. Nothing is working. Verse 5.
And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death.
Now see, they already killed hundreds and thousands of people. Still, after prayer, asking God what to do, and then they're thinking, hey, we want to find out who did not come to fight with the Benjamin. So they are thinking, and if nobody came from any tribe, they promise to each other, we are going to kill them and wipe out those people from Israeli people. Now they already killed hundreds and thousands of people, and now still thinking, if anybody didn't come, we are going to kill them. And so now they are thinking and they are counting people. Let's count what are the peoples we are all together and who came and who didn't come. And they were counting people. Let's read verse 6.
And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly.
They are asking themselves, we already promised God. God did not ask them to promise this one. We already promised God. We made the promise that if anyone gives their daughter to the Benjamin people, they will be cursed. Now they got an idea. They said one tribe didn't come, and they are living in Jabesh Gilead. Now they did not tell me here, what tribe is this? This is not the whole tribe. So some people from Jabesh Gilead didn't come. So they said, now we have to send somebody there and kill these people. And what we do this time, when we'll give the order to these warriors, you go kill all the children, all the wives, and all the fathers, but keep the girls who are not married or they are virgin. Those are the virgin girls you keep, and all other people you should kill. Now they're thinking all the virgins we'll find, and then we'll give this virgin to the rest of the Benjamin. Now this is the only tribe did not come to fight with the Benjamin. What these people might be thinking, I don't know. They might be thinking, oh, we have a small tribe here, and if we go for the war, we will be killed because Benjamin people are very strong and they will kill us. So let those people go and fight. We don't have to fight with the Benjamin. And they start thinking, we can save ourselves. But this is just like, I don't want to fight because we are a small tribe and they will kill us and they will destroy us and our tribe will be completely vanished away. So we should not be fighting. That's a good idea. But at the same time, their leaders call everyone and say, everyone has to come to fight. And they said, if you have 1,000 people, give 100. If you have 10,000 people, give us 1,000. 10% of your tribe, you should bring the people for fight. So the 10% giving the people was not a big thing. But this tribe start thinking, we are not going to send anyone. Now this, the tribe's name is not given. This is the tribe of Manasseh. Now Manasseh's tribe, they had divisions. One tribe stayed other side of the Jordan, and one side, this small tribe stayed other side. Now what happened when this smaller tribe of Manasseh, and they are thinking, we don't want to get wiped out, so we are not going. So now these people found out the Jabesh Gilead people didn't come, so we are going to fight with them. And that's what these people are looking for. So they are sending not one, not two, 12,000 very strong and courageous warriors. Let's read verse 9.
For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do, ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan.
Now they went, 12,000 people, and what they did, they killed the children, mother, father, everyone, and kept only the virgin girls. But so happened, even though they kept the virgin girls, they were not enough. They got only 400 virgin girls, and all the tribe was wiped out. But thank God, this Manasseh tribe, they were not the whole tribe, so other tribe was other side, so they were safe. So these people did not care, because Manasseh tribe did not wipe out. But all these people who are living in Jabesh Gilead, they're all dead. They're all finished. Only 400 girls were there. So they said, okay, we'll bring these girls and give it to the Benjamin people. Verse 13.
And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Ramon, and to call peaceably unto them.
Now, they are sending the message to the Benjaminites. They're saying, listen, now we are not going to fight with you. We already had the war, but we are going to provide the wives for you. So please come and meet us. Maybe they call them Mizpah or somewhere. And they said, come and get these wives for you. So I think those people came peacefully, and each one got their wives. Still, they were remaining 200 people did not get their wives. So now again these people are thinking what we should be doing. Let's read verse 14.
And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. And yet so they suffered them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel.
Now, they are saying, we got the 400 girls, that is still not enough. What we should be doing? And then this 15th verse, he said, God made a breach, God made a gap. Again, they are saying, this is because of God. If God did not destroy these Benjamin people, we would not have any problem. But they are the one asking God, Lord, this many people of Israel died. Now what we should be doing? And these people did evil things. So God said, okay, go ahead and I will give Benjamin people in your hand. But we saw several times these Israeli people blaming God for their mistakes. And now they are again thinking, where are we going to find 200 girls? And we already promised to these people what we should be doing. They are confused, they are worried, they don't know what to do, and they are in puzzle. Verse 16.
Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for them that they be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. However, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.
Now they are saying, we already made a promise, and the promise was this: if anyone gives their daughter to Benjaminites, those people will be cursed. At least they had the fear of God. Once you make a promise with God, they cannot break that promise. But today, many people promise God, Lord, give me job, and if you give me job, I will give 10%. When they get a job, they forget about giving to the Lord. The point I'm making here, people, they make a promise and they break a promise. But the Old Testament, once you make a promise, they will keep the promise. No matter what happens, they will not break the promise. If they break the promise, they will have a greater punishment. So these people are saying, we made a promise, and if you break the promise, the curse of God is going to come. So now what we should be doing? Let's read the verse 19.
Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway, that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem and on the south of Lebona.
Now when somebody reads this, there's only one word is here. There is a yearly feast going on, the feast of the Lord. When they say feast of the Lord and then say the place they give, and they giving the where the place is. He says there is a near the Bethel, you go there, and there is a highway goes, and near the Bethel there is a Shechem, and near the Shechem, the south of Shechem is the Lebanon, and they giving the address and guidance where this place is. When somebody reads that, they will thinking, all the Israeli people should know where the Shiloh is. Their people go to worship, their people know. So they are giving the address, direction to go. And the first time when I heard the Shechem and Lebanon and all these things, I start thinking, maybe this is a heathen people are coming. But when you start reading, you will know, this is not the heathen place. This is a God's place, and this is a godly people coming to this feast. Now, when these people are coming to this feast, these girls are coming from different tribes. It's a festival, and they did not say yearly festival, but what is this festival? What is this occasion? Some people say it's a feast of tabernacle, and another person says something else. So they did not say in this chapter what was the feast, what was the timing, and who are these girls coming? Are they heathen or are they Israeli people? But as we go a little bit further, then we'll know these are Israeli people. Now they are coming from different areas and they are dancing at the Shiloh. So they are saying these are the Shiloh girls. Again, when you say Shiloh girls, they are not only from that area. All the 12 tribes of Israel, they come for the festival yearly, and these girls dance before God. So now they got the idea. See what we'll do. We will tell these Benjamin people, you go and catch the girls and take a wife for you, because those girls are the virgin girls. And there are young girls coming for dance. Now, this is a little bit crooked. First of all, you promise that you are not going to give your daughter to Benjaminites. And now, if you give your daughter to them, you will be cursed. So now, they found out the trick. We don't have to give, but tell the Benjamin people, you steal it. You go, and you capture them, and you drag them to your house, because we are not giving. You take it. So indirectly, they are giving their daughter, but playing the trick with God. God knows what these people are doing. They prayed and prayed and asked God. God did not say, go and kill the Jabesh Gilead, all these people, and take the girls from there. This was not God's idea. So these people are doing everything, whatever comes to their mind, and they are doing it, because in this chapter you learn, in time of these judges, there was no king, and the people were doing anything, whatever comes to their mind. There is no guidance, there is no leader, and they were doing exactly whatever they want. Now, who are these people? They are all the 12 tribes of Israel, all the elders. They gather together, and they are making this kind of rules and regulations. And now they are telling, these girls are coming to dance, and now you have to go and kidnap those girls and run away to your town. And we will take care of if somebody says anything. Now, this is a trick. So in the beginning, anyone reads this, they will not think that this is a godly people. This is a godly girls. This is a godly festival. It will not come to your mind because they are trying to kidnap this girl. God's blessing will not be there. Because one time, if you read the Numbers, chapter 25, and read verses 1 to 3, there was a festival, and they were sacrificing to the heathen god, and those heathen girls tried to entice the children of Israel, because Balaam gave this idea, because Balaam went to curse the children of Israel, didn't work. So he comes with the idea to Balak. He said, hey, when the festival is there, let your young girl come and dance, and they can entice these Israeli people, and they will, you know, worship your God, and then the girls will having some relationship with the Israeli people, and God will be mad, and God will kill them. The idea was good, so Balak said, let's do that. So let's read.
And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel.
See, when they start going after the dancing girl, eating the sacrifice of their god, and worshipping their god, and so God was very angry. See what happens. Let's read the verse 9.
And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
See how many people died? 24,000 Israeli people died. Why? Because they went after dancing girls and they start worshipping their God. They start eating the sacrifice to the idols and start doing wrong thing. And 24,000 people died. But now similar idea, but these girls are not heathen girls. They are worshipping in front of Jehovah God or Tabernacle or Shiloh, and these Israeli people are saying, when this girl comes to dance, you kidnap them and you take them as your wives. This idea they gave, and they told them what to do. Let's go back to the Judges chapter 21 and start reading from verse 20.
Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie and wait in the vineyards.
Now see, that's telling all the tricks how to do. Go and hide yourself where the grapes and vineyards are, and the thick vineyard. Nobody will see you, and you go and hide there, and these girls are coming, then you kidnap them. Verse 21.
And see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances, then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.
See, they give the idea, and these people are not ordinary people, they are warriors. They are all the warriors, and there is no trouble kidnapping one girl. They will not have problem. These girls are not going to fight with them because they are strong men. So they are giving idea, go kidnap and run to your home. So exactly they did, verse 22.
And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty.
When you read this verse, then you know these are the Israeli people, because they cannot take the heathen daughters, and they cannot tell the heathen people, oh, listen, our people took your daughter, so don't worry, because you don't feel guilty. They are not going to feel guilty because they have nothing to do with the Israeli people. But this is Israeli people. And everybody knows that Israeli people should not be giving their daughter. And if you kidnap their daughters, and if their fathers or brothers comes to complain, then we are going to remind them. We already made a promise that we should not give our daughters. So you did not give your daughter. So God is not going to punish you. They came and took your daughter. Automatically, you're not guilty. Because you should be happy that you don't have to worry about looking for your daughter's husband. You're not going to get cursed. They gave advice to these Benjaminite people. They said, you don't feel guilty giving your daughters because you did not give. They took it. So this is a crooked business, and somehow all these 200 girls they wanted, they took these girls and they ran to their places. Verse 23.
And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired to the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance.
Now, until then, these people are waiting, all the children of Israel. As we learn, 400,000 warriors and everybody came. And now they were in puzzle. How are we going to give the daughters to Benjaminites? And somehow, they got it. Now, they told the Benjamin people, go to your territory, and nobody will come. If they come, we'll take care of it. And they went. Now here the word of God says, every man to his inheritance. So everybody went to their land, because that was their land. Now in the 25th verse we will be reading later, but here it says everybody had their inheritance. Now if you go to the chapter 18, that's what I said, 18 chapter should be after 21st. Because 18 chapter, if you read, one tribe did not have inheritance. Let's go to the chapter 18, verses 1 and 2.
In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel.
See, now when you read this 24th verse in 21st chapter, here is saying everyone went to their places where their inheritance was, wherever their land was. Now the Dan people also came to fight. We read earlier, Dan to Beersheba. All the people came to fight with the Benjaminites. So here, when you read the verse 25 and we read the chapter 18, this 25th verse is already recorded there, because there was no king and everybody was doing according to their will. So this Dan people, they were looking for land, and now they're coming there. Now let's read the verse 3 and 4, same chapter.
When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what is thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest.
Now see what happened here. When these people came looking for land, somehow they come to the Micah's house. When they come to the Micah's house, they said they heard one person's voice and they recognize his voice. Do you know, when we read in the chapter 20, this priest gathered all these people and gave the speech. And what he said, this is what happened to my wife. And now all these Israeli people, do something now. And that's the way the civil war happened. So this man, the priest, Levites, he was preaching there. Hundreds and thousands of people were there. So they heard his voice. And so they recognize him and they say, hey, what are you doing here? We know you. Because he became famous in all the tribes of Israel. So now he says, I came here looking for a place, and now I'm a priest in Micah's house. But as we learn, the same priest, when he was married to his concubines in Bethlehem, he was living in Bethlehem, and then she ran away. We learn in chapter 19, she ran away, and then he, after 4 months, he goes after her to bring her. And then after that, we learn the story 20 and 21, how it happened and how his wife got killed. And now he is again without a wife. Wife's father was saying, please stay with us. And he stayed with them 5 days. He said, stay one more day. And he did not stay. Why? Because he was working. And he told this man, I'm a priest. I work in the house of God. And he impressed them that he's a good man. So point I'm making, this Levites was the same Levites in the chapter 17 and chapter 18 and the same Levites in chapter 19. So many other people, they do not know the story and they think, I don't think this is the same man, but this is the same man, because first he got married, the wife ran away, then he starts saying, I have no place to live, comes to Micah's house, Micah gave him a job, now he got a job, now he got a good cloth. He said, I'll give you a pair of clothes, brand new, and I'll give you money. So now he got a servant even. So he got a job, he got a servant, he got two donkeys, and that's the time he was looking for his wife. And that's the story. When the wife got killed, now he has nobody, so he goes and gets his job. And chapter 18, if you read, then these Dan's people comes because they did not have inheritance. They were coming to look for a place. And then he prophesies, go and find the land and God is with you and this and that. And then they said, hey, you come with us. And they took him with them. And that time he did not say anything. Hey, I work for this Micah. I have to be faithful. Why are you taking me there? I'm happy here. But this man was greedy. He was not a good man. When you do idol worship, you do everything wrong. If you worship the living God, then you are fear of God. When I was working in a company, that job I got, a miracle job. I was just lying down and looking at the ceiling, and I said, Lord, what is my future? I lost my job. And I'm young, what am I going to do? And here, knock in my door. And the man comes and says, is there anyone lives here? The master, so-and-so, he gave my father's name. And I need his son. I got scared. I thought I lost my job, and those other people might be looking for me or something. I said, what do you want to do with this son? So we are going to give him a job. Oh, that's me. If you go to Bombay City, what I'm saying, you will know that's a miracle. Because Bombay City is a big city. Not only that, we were living in one area. There were all the name of the place was labor camp. Means all the laborers were living in there. And there are buildings, there are chalets, there are houses and everything. But I'm living in one suburb, one far place like a farm kind of thing. No house address, no postman man come, no letter will come, nobody will know where you're living. And so this man came, so I was surprised. This is the boss of the company. He's a partner of the company. He comes with a suit and everything. And I said, how did you find out my house? He said, I went to your church. And when I went on church, I was very famous. When I was 15 years old, I was in a Sunday school, doing a drama, doing a Bible studies, going to places, and visiting church members, and I was very famous. And so the elder people came to me and say, we are going to make you elder of the church. I said, sir, I'm just 15. They said, you are a good model for our youth, so you should be elder of the church. And so they voted for me, they made me elder. So the point I'm making, as soon as the man went to church, somebody from the church came to show him my house. And that's what he found out, the house. Now I got the job. Why I'm saying this, he came, I don't know who he was. And so he came looking for some perfume. He said, you bought the bottle with him. Do you have this perfume with you? And so I could simply say, we don't have it. But I said, oh, we have better perfume than that. And so I showed him one, two, and he started, okay, I want this. And he bought almost $60,000 perfumes. And he got his stuff, and he asked me a question. You know what? You are a very good salesperson. I just came for the one thing. You should have told me we don't have it. But you showed me so many things, and I was able to buy all these things. Do you know who I am? I said, I don't know. He says, I have a big company, bigger than your company. Well, how much salary they give it to you? So he said, I will give three times more what you're making here. I will give you a better job. I said, sir, this job, God gave it to me. Somebody came to seeking me at the door of my house. And this job I'm going to do until God calls me. I will give up this job, but I'm not looking for any job. So what I was trying to tell you, these Levites, so greedy, when these people say, hey, you're working for a one man, work for the whole tribe. He said, oh, that's a good idea. And take this man's idol also with you. And be our leader, our priest, and our father. He did not care to steal that man's idols. And he went with the tribe of Dan. So if you read the whole chapter of 18, they will tell you in the end of the chapter. Could you read the couple of verses in the ending of the chapter?
And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh.
See, that's the way he finishes. That means these priests went with them, set up idol worship there, and they were there for a long time. So that's the way the chapter should be finishing. So let's go back to the Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. We didn't read it.
In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Now in those days there was no king in Israel. You remember only king they had, that Gideon's son, Abimelech. That Abimelech, only one person became a king. But we studied today, gave the survey. In that survey, his name is not there because he was not a godly judge. He was self-made king. Israeli people did not have a king. Otherwise, they would say, oh, we had a king, Abimelech. But that was the heathen king. Even though he was the son of Gideon, his mother was heathen, and he became heathen king. So it is not in the list. That's why this verse says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Now the next book comes, the Ruth. Actually, the Ruth should not be there. It should be Samuel. What we will be doing, we already studied the book of Ruth. It's already in our internet. This book is finishing today, Judges. Next book we will be studying Samuel. Because Samuel also was a judge. Chapter finishes here. There was no king in Israel. And everybody did whatever they wanted to do. And that is a very depressing thing, or sad things, or dangerous things. When the Samuel asked God, that the Israeli people asking a king, Samuel was so sad. Why they reject me and why they want king? And God said to Samuel, don't you worry. They did not reject you. They reject me. They already rejected me because they don't want me to be king over them. That's the thing we will be learning in book of Samuel. So shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Give us grace to love you and follow you. Give us grace to be faithful to you. You have started a good work in our hearts, and you are going to complete it. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.